We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Hello, everybody. Welcome into the LakersNation.com podcast. I'm Trevor Lane for LakersNation.com. If you're watching the video version of this, as you can see, Matt the Optimus Peralta and I are still here in Las Vegas. We'll be doing some recording at Blue Wire Studios. We're clearly not in studio right now. I know, Matt. We would like to be in the studio right now, but we are not, but that's okay. We still want to get out a podcast for you guys. We've got plenty to talk about in the world of the Los Angeles Lakers. So, welcome to my hotel room, and we will chat a little bit about the Lakers, taking a lot of your questions and comments. That's what we decided to do, kind of a mailbag version of the show here. But first, before we even get into actually the questions and comments that are coming in, Blue Wire Studios at the Wynn in Las Vegas, absolutely incredible, great experience, and loved doing our post-game show from there.
Yes, 10 out of 10 experience, guys. Nothing like it. Was awesome to be there. I tried to go back, but they wouldn't let me back in.
They wouldn't let you in. They said no more.
Yeah, I was. I didn't even want a room. I went to the front desk. I said, "Hey, is the Blue Wire Studios open? I would love to have that for a night, just to sleep there." And you know, but they said no. So
you were gonna sleep in the studio? That's where you disappeared
to. Did you see how nice it was?
I did.
Well, guys, we're doing the podcast here, so you know.
In any event, we at least got to cover a great Lakers win from there. It was a blast. Hopefully you got to tune in and enjoy that show as well. But this does provide a lot of questions about the Lakers moving forward. What are they going to do this season? Can they really go on a run? What does this mean for LeBron, for the scoring race, all of that sort of stuff? Plus, we got a lot of questions about the future, about the offseason this summer, which to be expected. So what we're going to do is we're going to open up our mailbag. I put it out there on Twitter. Got a lot of responses there. Matt's going to be reading those questions, and I'm going to check out the Instagram questions that went to my Instagram at TrevorLaneNBA, as well as the at LakersNation official Instagram as well. So Matt, you want to kick things off for us with a Twitter question
that we have come in? Yes, and I think this one's a pretty topical one, Trevor. So first one, should LeBron go after the scoring title? Currently the league leader right now.
By 0.2 points, yes. at the moment. Joel Embiid, who we're going to see tomorrow, if you're listening to this podcast tomorrow, it'll be tonight, against the Philadelphia 76ers. We're going to see him in action shortly, but I'm going to say yes. I'm going to say yes, that LeBron absolutely should go after the scoring title, and I think the reason for that is twofold. So first and foremost, I think that just because the Lakers are, as of this moment, they are sitting in the 9 seed. We'll see if they hang on to it or not. Doesn't look like it's going to be a championship season or anything like that. And I think the Lakers need LeBron scoring a lot to win. I mean, recently we saw them not win unless LeBron put up 50-plus points.
Yep.
So, yes on those two fronts. And then I'm going to add in yes just because it would be amazing to, at 37 years old, have LeBron win the scoring title. So, to me, yeah, go after it. I don't think you're going to hurt the team at all by doing it. I don't think that's a concern in the slightest. So, yes, go. Score those points, LeBron.
I am of the same mindset. I think as long as it's within reason, right? We don't want LeBron going out there and jacking 50 shots a game just to get the title, right? Yep. But if the team needs him to score and the title just happens to come along with it, by all means. And he's chasing history. I think it'd be cool to see him break Kareem's record in a Lakers jersey. So if any way he can get there in purple and gold, I would love to see that. So yeah, by all means, LeBron, go get that scoring title.
All right, let's move on to an Instagram question. Well, here's a comment first that I have to mention. Flomentum Movement said, Matt makes a great statue. I did on our Instagram shout out in order to bring in questions for the mailbag. I did a video and just kind of said, hey, everybody, we're going to do a mailbag. Throw in your questions and comments. And Matt did that. Matt did that in the back. I didn't know he was doing it, but Matt just went statue mode in the background. And so I got a lot of comments about that rather than just Lakers questions. But Flomentum Movement did have another question that came in and said, what's the best case scenario to the ending for this roller coaster of a season?
Ooh.
Tough one.
I think that a run toward the end of the season, of the regular season, and then getting out of the play-in tournament, mm-hmm. and then, if I'm being realistic, I think a very competitive first-round series. I think that is about as optimal as you can get for how the Lakers have looked this season. I mean, if you want to put, you know, pie-in-the-sky scenarios, a championship.
Sure, well, sure.
Yeah, that would be the most ideal thing. But if we're going to be realistic here, if we're going to analyze the team as currently constructed, I think that that is probably your best bet.
Yeah, a first-round playoff run, make the Phoenix Suns sweat a little bit, that type of thing. That's I think, the ideal scenario. But also say, in terms of performance and the Lakers offseason, which a lot of you asked about this summer, what needs to happen, when we're going to get to some of those questions. But I think that one of the keys is that you continue to get strong performances out of Russell Westbrook. He's been pretty good recently in the last three or four games. He's been better, actually shooting 50% from three over the last three games. Definitely sustainable.
Right? Oh, yeah. No regression.
No regression to the mean coming there at all. But Russell Westbrook's been playing well. I think it's important for the Lakers for the rest of the way to get solid performances out of guys like Russ. Of course, the young guys too, Wenyen Gabriel, Austin Reeves, Malik Monk, those guys, Stanley Johnson. You need to get performances that you can build upon for next season from them. But in terms of the offseason moves for the Lakers, it's going to be important that they are on solid footing, or at least as solid a footing as possible with Russell Westbrook. And that means leverage in negotiating trade talks. That means that you've got to have some sort of convincible rationale that, hey, keeping Russell Westbrook wouldn't be the absolute worst thing for us. Otherwise, other GMs are going to look at the Lakers as desperate to move that contract, and it's just going to make that a much more difficult deal to make.
Yeah, absolutely. If Russ can salvage some value toward the end of the season here and make him look a little bit more attractive in the market, that would be also great, right? So, you know, you brought up the offseason.
Yeah.
A lot of questions about the offseason, guys. A lot of questions about who should the Lakers go after and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. I thought this one was interesting. Is, Trevor, do you think that finding young talent on a prove-it deal this offseason is a must, given the Lakers' salary cap?
On a prove-it deal, so a cheap contract, finding a young talent to play. Yeah, I mean, I think that it is a must. I think that for the Lakers, who have this veteran-heavy, top-heavy team, right? Even let's say there's a Russell Westbrook trade out there that magically erases the entire salary off the Lakers' books.
Sure.
Sam Presti, give us a call. I don't think even if you do manage to clear part of that salary off the books, you're still going to be top-heavy with LeBron and Anthony Davis on your books. That means you're going to have to find talent on smaller contracts. Veteran minimums are going to be important. You have to hit on those. The Lakers didn't hit on enough of those this particular year. So finding guys on those types of deals is going to be important that they do. And then if you find a guy who's young, like the question mentioned, maybe you can get a piece for the future too.
Yeah.
Maybe you can find somebody who can stick around long term.
Yeah, I absolutely think so. The Lakers are going to be, again, another top-heavy team roster-wise next year. So being able to find guys that can play on the fringes on cheap contracts, I think, is crucial. And I think you can say that every season.
Mm-hmm.
Every team is going to be looking for that kind of player. But I think in the Lakers-specific case, they absolutely need to hit more singles this season for sure.
Absolutely. All right, let's jump back to Instagram. Oh, here's a good one. Heriberto Fimbers said, if the Lakers offered you a 10-day, would you accept it?
Yes.
Oh, absolutely.
Yes.
Have you guys seen Matt shoot in the pickup games that he plays in?
Yeah, you know,
he's a shooter. I mean, the Lakers could use him, space the floor. I would accept on the condition that they never put me on the floor, because I want the team to do well. So I would accept, and I would tell them I would do my very, very best to cheer from the bench.
Oh, yeah, I'm a great end-of-bench guy. I'm like the Ronnie Turioff of bench units. Shout out to the 2008 Lakers.
That's right.
Yeah, so the Lakers are going to pay me to watch basketball courtside. That's how I look at it.
I like it. I would be excited about that.
I would too. Yes, sign me. Like, Lakers, I'm available. Schedule's clear. Call me.
Aniket 429, who's jumped in a lot of our chats on YouTube as well, said, likelihood of Dame leaving Portland and joining the Lakers / trade for Russ.
even the most optimistic person like myself cannot see that. Dame, if you're listening, though, we would love to have you in Los Angeles. You're my favorite non-Laker.
Yeah.
But realistic, I mean, salary-wise, you can get there. A trade is not, you know, impossible. It's just, why would Portland say yes to that? Especially after the teardown they did just to build around Dame.
Portland, if they do have to trade Damian Lillard, it will not be to the Lakers. Portland fans would be very upset if they traded Damian Lillard to the Lakers specifically. There is, I know, from the Lakers side of things, we're like, what rivalry? There is no rivalry there between the Blazers and the Lakers. Like, what the Blazers do doesn't really bother us that much. But to a lot of Blazers fans, the sentiment is, we hate the Lakers. Anybody but the Lakers. You know, that type of thing. I guess we did see that sentiment a little bit going around MLB with Freddie Freeman and the Dodgers, and he wound up being a Dodger anyway. But regardless, I don't think the Lakers actually have the assets to go get Damian Lillard. But I also think that that's not Portland's game plan right now. What they're going to try to do is they're going to take the stuff that they got from all the moves they made at the trade deadline, that teardown that you're talking about. They're going to try to flip that into things that fit better with Damian Lillard this offseason. We've talked about it recently on the Front Office show, which you guys can find the link to that in the description down below. But we've talked about it. The Blazers are going to try to rebuild this thing around Lillard and create a better fitting team that can contend for a championship.
Yep.
They won't be trading him away until trade deadline next year at the earliest, maybe the next offseason. And that's only if everything they do this coming summer completely fails.
I've got two good questions for you.
Yeah.
First one, who gets traded first, Damian Lillard or Bradley Beal?
Ooh, that is a good question, especially with Bradley Beal having some decisions to make this summer. I'm going to say Bradley Beal.
I think so,
too. I'm going to say Bradley Beal.
Okay, so second question. This actually goes back to our Twitter questions. Speaking of the Portland Trail Blazers, they've been linked to one certain name. So the question is, what player should the Lakers target in the offseason to make it a perfect fit?
Oh, Jeremy Grant.
Yes, sir.
Jeremy Grant targeted a trade for Jeremy Grant. I think
the deal's never dead.
Here's the thing. The Pistons had so many different options on the table for Jeremy Grant, and they still didn't pull the trigger because they felt like everything that they had available to them at the trade deadline is also available in the summer.
They're not wrong.
Yeah, and they're going to have plenty of guys that are after Jeremy, or plenty of teams that are after Jeremy Grant. I don't think the Lakers can get into the mix with THT, Kendrick Nunn, and whatever picks you want to attach. I don't think that gets it done. Jeremy Grant, I like a lot. I think 3-and-D style wings, particularly athletic guys that can be switchy on the defensive end, those are critical for the Lakers. They didn't have enough of those guys this season. Jeremy Grant would be a great target. I don't think it's going to happen. I do love our colleague Ron Gutterman recommended this trade, though, in terms of a Westbrook move, said, what if you do something like Russ to the Pacers, attach a few picks, Malcolm Brogdon, Buddy Hield.
Buddy Hield to the Lakers.
Buddy Hield to the Lakers, finally. Finally. But something like that, I think, is interesting, and maybe you can do something around those guys. THT, I think, will also be on the market in terms of moving that salary, about $10 million. So I'm looking for skill set-wise, guys who can do two things, defend, shoot threes. If you can find guys who can do that, great, but oftentimes they don't come cheap, and I think Jeremy Grant's a great example.
Yeah, I think Jeremy Grant would be awesome. I think the Lakers could possibly get a deal done because they'll have two firsts to trade, technically. But I guess you got to weigh the pros and cons. Is two first-round picks worth Jeremy Grant? I personally don't think so. And then the other thing to consider here is if you execute a move like trading for Jeremy Grant, there's no way that you can offload Russell Westbrook because you need those picks.
Right.
So it's kind of a one or the other situation there. So if I'm able to get Malcolm Brogdon and Buddy Hield, I'm going to go that route 100% every time.
Zachary Herndon said, what are the chances of Rob blowing the roster up if we don't make the playoffs? I think it doesn't matter.
I don't think
so. I think it's getting blown up regardless.
I think so too. Well, what's your definition of blow up? Does that include AD?
No. Yeah, like complete. Maybe that's a good thing to mention. Like, I'm assuming AD and LeBron stay.
Yes.
Whereas, to me, blowing up the roster is AD and LeBron stay, but everybody else is very much in question. Yeah, and that's what I think we're going to see from the Lakers this offseason. And part of that isn't just, oh, we don't like these guys. Part of that is they're on expiring deals. And so naturally there's going to be some turnover there.
Yeah.
So I think the roster is going to get completely rebuilt for next season. I think it is going to be built around LeBron and AD. Anybody else, who knows whether or not they will actually be back. I think there's guys that they actually want to hang on to. Austin Reeves, talking about Stanley Johnson, Wenyen Gabriel, some of these younger guys that are on some cheaper deals that you can hang on to. But ultimately, I think we are going to see a very, very different looking roster next season. And based on the way the season has gone, this recent stretch aside, I think Lakers fans are very much looking forward to this team looking very different next season.
Yeah, and you kind of answered one of the questions I was going to ask Ness was, what players would you want to keep for sure next season? And I think the ones you outlined, Austin Reaves, Stanley Johnson, Wenyen Gabriel, Malik Monk.
Yeah.
Yeah. I just hope he wants to stay for less money.
I know. That's going to be the challenge. That's
the challenge.
That if it, this is, and we've talked about this, everybody out there, we've talked about this a lot. The Lakers' decision in terms of what they do with Russell Westbrook, it could very well come down to we buy him out, and that gives us enough room to trigger a hard cap and keep Malik Monk, or we trade him or whatever it is, and we have to say goodbye to Malik Monk because he's going to get that full mid-level offer from somebody.
Yeah, it's a tough balancing act for sure. I hope they can find a way to do it, but I'm not too optimistic about Monk staying. And, you know, good for him because he deserves way more than what he got this offseason.
Absolutely.
One more question from me. Which would you prioritize more in free agency or the trade market in the offseason, point guard or center?
Oh.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
That is a tough one. Well, and it's because of the skill sets that you already have on the roster. Again, right. Let's assume that LeBron and AD both stay. Well, depending on who the coach is, maybe it's Quinn Snyder, right? But Anthony Davis may or may not be the center most of the time. So do you target a center knowing that at most, if AD is healthy, and I know that's a big if, but they're only playing 15 minutes a night maybe? Or do you target a point guard, but at the same time, let's face it, regardless of what position LeBron is, on the offensive end of the floor, he acts quite a bit as the point guard. So that's tough. I guess the cheating answer would be whichever one can be a 3-and-D style switchy defender the best. Like, and obviously you don't find that a lot at the center position, but if you could find somebody who's got the ability to rotate out, that can protect the rim a little bit, that can shoot, I'd be okay with putting money in there. I'd also be okay with putting in money into a highly efficient point guard who can also be a switchy defender. So a bigger point guard, think kind of like Ron Harper mold, if we go back in time bit. Bigger guy that can switch out onto multiple players, something like that from the point guard position. I guess if I have to answer it, I'll say center, because I'd like to take some of those minutes off of Anthony Davis, and I think the team does need another big that they can truly fall back on, and I do think that their path to success has primarily been LeBron James having the ball in his hands as much as possible.
It's funny because I think I'm actually going to go point guard.
Oh, good. Okay, great.
Yes, no, and I just think it's because this team has looked good when they've had more shooters out there. I think any kind of stretch big or five is going to cost them more than what they can afford. So I think being able to find guards on the cheap who can space the floor a little bit, handle the ball, ease some of the playmaking burden off of LeBron. We've seen DJ Augustin do it this offseason. Yep. Maybe he's the guy the Lakers go back to. Who knows? But I think that type of mold of player is a lot easier to find, and I think that will work a lot better next to LeBron and AD, because let's face it too, I think whoever the coach is next season is going to probably commit more to a small ball lineup. I think Anthony Davis is a full-time five personally. So, and I also think that finding centers, serviceable centers, is a lot easier on veteran minimums. We've seen it with JaVale McGee, Bismack Biyombo. I just named the two Sun centers. I just like that. But that's my point, right? Is that you can find centers kind of on the bargain bin. So if you're going to allocate more resources, whatever, you know, if it has to come through picks, more money, whatever, I think it'd be best going to a guard.
All right. Fair enough. Do you think Anthony Davis holds up if he's playing center?
Do you think that's
a factor in his injuries?
I honestly think it might be, but he's also just had terrible injury. Like, if you've watched his injuries, they're not anything to do with his position.
It's unfortunate. A guy fall into his leg and obviously landed on somebody's foot. Like
exactly. That's not him. That can happen to any player.
Yeah. It's not like he was in the post or something like that. And
yeah, it's not like body injury or anything banging in the post. Yeah.
Here's a question that I think actually connects to another question that we've got.
Sure.
It was a question about Wenyen Gabriel's eligibility that you had.
Yeah.
Devin Escobar said, would Kendrick Nunn be available for the playoffs? So would he be eligible come playoff time? He would be.
He's obviously, on the roster, technically.
He's on the roster. We haven't seen him play a game yet, clearly, and obviously that's a concern. I mean, we heard, and this was weeks ago, was that the Lakers were hoping, you know, end of March, maybe he could come back. But, yeah, the clock's ticking on that. I'm not expecting to see him this season, but in theory, sure, he would be eligible for the playoffs.
Yeah, I think he would technically be eligible. Am I expecting it? No. I guess that's the next question. That's one for me, actually. Do you think Kendrick Nunn picks up his player option?
Yes. Yeah, I think he does.
You think he does.
And heading into the season, we would have said no. Heading into the season, we said no. He'll test the free agent market this summer. $5 million simply isn't enough for him. But based on the fact that he's been so injured, yeah, I think he's picking up that option.
Okay. Yeah, I think so, too. I feel like he kind of wants to prove that he can go out there. And, you know, if he opts out, is he really going to get more money than what he's getting now? I don't think so.
No, nope. I am. If you guys are watching the video, I am slowly just being engulfed by the sun here. I'm just being blinded here. Now I know how Kevin Love felt when LeBron dunked all over him. Just gets destroyed by the brightness of the light. He saw the light.
He saw light.
Let's finish things off. You had that Wenyen Gabriel question about his eligibility, and we'll wrap up with that one.
Yeah. So, Trevor, are two-way players eligible for this year's playoffs?
Typically, the answer is no, right? But this season, because they had all those hardship exceptions and all of that, everything going on with COVID, the NBA did come to a decision earlier this month that, yes, they will indeed be eligible for the playoffs. That means that should the Lakers get into the playoffs, they get into round one, or even in the play-in, Wenyen Gabriel will indeed be eligible, which I think is a good thing. He's been a nice fit for the Lakers, and I really want to see what he can look like next to Anthony Davis.
I don't know if this is good or a bad thing. Should we be happy that Wenyen Gabriel has played so well that we are actually kind of expecting him to play big minutes in the play-in tournament? Is that sad or is that good?
No, I think that's good. At this point in the season, we'll take it. We'll take it, right? I mean, if we went back to last summer,
mm-hmm.
and you said, down the stretch, you're going to get major minutes from Wenyen Gabriel, Stanley Johnson, Austin Reeves, DJ Augustine.
Jesus.
None of those guys, if we went to last summer, none of those guys were officially on the team even at that point.
Yep.
And yet now we're looking at that thinking, that's great. Please give those guys minutes.
Oh, man. This is just how the season's gone, guys. But hey, we're down bad. We're down bad with you guys. So whoever plays well at this point, let's face it.
Yep.
Just who can give me good minutes for 15, 20 minutes a night?
I don't care about the name on the back of the jersey. I just care about what they do out there on the floor. And right now, it's the young guys. It's the young guys with the young legs that are providing more of a boost, it seems like, than the veterans, save for maybe, you know, Carmelo Anthony or somebody like that. But the younger guys tend to work out a little bit better right now for the Lakers. So we are expecting to see them get more minutes moving forward. And I think Wenyen Gabriel has earned himself a role from here. We'll see what he can do. Hopefully he can be consistent, and who knows? Maybe the Lakers have a guy they can rely on off the bench for the next few seasons in him.
Yeah, I mean, he's definitely flashed so far.
Mm-hmm.
He's played well. I think the Lakers are playing really well these past three games, kind of coincides with the minutes he's been getting. So we'll see if that keeps up for the rest of the season, but I definitely think he's earned a role, and I definitely think he's earned a longer look past this season.
100%. All right, everybody. Thanks so much for joining us, and appreciate all of you who submitted questions to the mailbag. Appreciate it. We do have Lakers versus 76ers coming up. Matt is in statue mode once again for anybody watching the video. If you're listening to the podcast version of this, you don't know what I'm talking about, but check out the YouTube video to see Matt the Optimus Peralta freeze up.
It's,
I know he has to blink at some point.
Yeah.
All right, everybody. Thank you guys for joining us. Make sure you do hit that subscribe button over on YouTube. Don't forget to turn on notifications as well. If you're listening to the podcast version, we've been getting some great reviews coming in over on Apple Podcasts, and that's a great way that you can help the show. Please make sure you give us that 5-star rating and review on Apple Podcasts. And, of course, you can give us that rating over on Spotify as well, if that's where you consume podcasts or wherever it is that you get your podcasts. Till next time, everybody, stay safe and see you.